Let's play that funky music, Daisy girl. There she comes. There we go. It's us, Judith. It's our turn to play.
Woo! Our turn to show off.
Woo! Not doing it yet. We'll do a quick clap. Come on, one, two, three. Done. Oh, you did
I'm doing a doubler.
We've got a little bit of a sort of Spanish thing going on there. You'll be getting the castanets out before you know it.
I've always wanted some castanets. Do you know, I've always wanted some.
Do you know, because there were girls at school, weren't there? That used
there
to come
were.
Back from Spanish holidays.
Oh, that's right.
And they came to school with a little set of castanets with
yeah, they were
Spanish
a little with a painting of a date.
On.
Yeah, exactly. With all the sort of frilly skirts and everything. Yeah,
yeah
they
yeah.
did. And
see,
they
my mother wouldn't have let us do
well.
That. She'd have
wouldn't
thought
she?
It was common.
Well, yeah. she's probably right. Hello.
It wasn't. Hello. She was just being a complete killjoy. Right, Judith.
Oh,
we need to tackle
God.
How tough your week has been now.
Right,
and you need to
journey.
Sort of tell us how you're feeling. I mean,
yeah.
we want to know how Mike's feeling, but we need to know how you're feeling, how you're dealing with it, because...
It is tough still, and it was not tough for me, it has been for Mike. I mean, he wanted me to do the podcast, and, you know, and actually last week I was really taken out of myself and my worry by laughing at you, Jenny, and it really did help me. I don't want people to think that I'm kind of just back to normal, because I'm bloody not.
We need to
anyway.
Explain what Mike's had done.
Yeah, so
I mean,
he's
the
had...
the official term.
He's had an aortic valve replacement, which is open heart surgery. And yeah, I mean, the surgeon said it was the worst valve he'd ever seen. Would you believe it? It's like a little rock. He didn't know how Mike was living with it. So, gosh, he had to have it done. And he's very, very, you know, very lucky to have had it done and spotted because he didn't have symptoms, etc. So that's great. And it's done. The operation is done.
How many hours? How many hours?
6 hours, I think.
Oh,
6 hours.
God, that's a hell of a long time.
Yeah. But, you know, it's because they obviously have to access and they have to sort of break into your chest. It looks to me like, you know, you've had a car crash and you've got all these kind of internal injuries as well. So anyway, he's home. He was back. So, second night home, even though we only had the operation this time last week. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Operation went well. And so that's all good, isn't it?
But then there's the emotional
poorly.
Trauma
oh, God.
Of a massive operation like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I know. And he's the most stoical, brave person I know. And
well, that's
you know,
compared to you, Judith. I mean,
well,
let's
I was
face
just
it,
gonna
you
say,
and I.
I was just going to say, on the scale, you know, I'm yeah. like kind of minus
yeah.
500.
You and I would probably be able to shit ourselves during an operation, even though we were knocked unconscious. We
and
would
there's
still...
nothing in there. No, we'd yeah. find something, wouldn't we? We would. We'd
absolutely.
Sort of, yeah,
deep down,
we really
we would.
Would
still be able to void our bowels
oh,
with fear.
God. I mean, just thinking about it makes me, yeah, want to go to the loo. And I tell you what, if it was me, I would be ringing you up saying, Jenny, what you got in the cupboard? Just fucking send me it. Send
yeah,
me some
yeah.
Valium.
Well, you know I've only got three emergency
well,
Valium
Well, that's
left,
no good to me. That's
which
no
I
good
keep
to me.
In my sunglasses case. For,
oh.
you know, for when I'm having enormous meltdowns. But,
not
you know,
quite.
I guard
yeah.
those three Valium.
I know. I think I've only got about the same amount there in a little tragic little bit of corner yeah. of an envelope that are folded
they
up.
Don't
loads
whack them out these days, you know. Back
no,
in the 1960s, you and I, really, Judith, we belong medically
yes,
in the 1960s.
We do, like in doctors... Mad Men, the Mad Men era. When yeah, that's right. Appetite suppressants.
Oh, you'd have been
uppers,
on
those. Downers. Yeah, of course
I'd have been on my Black Bombers, my Purple Hearts, I think those are Backstreet drugs. I've been reading, well, listening to John Cooper Clarke's biography, so I'm quite drug
you're up on it, aren't you? Oh, I can hear you're up on it. Yeah, I know.
No,
well, we need to
Judith.
Squirrel some stuff. We need to squirrel some things away, don't we?
We need to find
for
a sympathetic doctor.
Well, you know, I've got one of those, but even so, he only, you know, occasionally throws me a couple. I mean, it's not a lot, you know.
Like a
gratefully.
Really needy dog.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, no, we need a dodgy doctor. We don't need sympathetic
yes,
doctors.
Actually, you're right, we do.
We need one of those backstreet dodgy doctors.
I know.
You know, you go in and you have a little cry and they give you a fistful of Valium. So, now,
so he's
Mike
stoical.
Is in bed
he's
now.
Yes. No, no, he's not.
Oh,
he's
no.
much more. Yeah, he's much more mobile than I thought. I mean, in terms of what I'm doing, it's nothing really. I mean, I'm just sort of, you know, a bossy housekeeper. But he can get in and out of bed. I'm amazed. He can You know, he's walking around a bit. Maybe. I mean, he only goes up and down the stairs once, but you can see it sort of winds him. But so he's much
did
more mobile, get, much more independent than I thought
he was going
to be. Did
you get a pamphlet or anything that explained aftercare after this massive operation?
A little bit. But I mean, I tell you what it feels like. And it feels like, you know, when you have your baby and you get really focused on the, you know, all those classes we went to about the birth.
Well, I didn't go to a single one.
Well,
you know that.
You didn't.
But yes, you're focusing on the big event.
Yes,
it's a birthday, isn't it? It's like
yes. And that's all you think about. You think, yeah, well, whatever that, you know, the feeding and the napping, so it'd be fine.
Yeah.
And then you get home and you think, shit, now I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's a bit like that. You know, we've come home. You should see the medication, Jenny. You should see it. It's so bad. He colour-coded them yesterday. So can you go up to my study and get... So we had 4 felt-tip pens. You know, ones that you take on waking, ones mid-morning, ones... And he's got to inject himself. I mean, how?
What do you mean inject himself? Where does he inject himself?
Oh, I know. I watched him do it yesterday. It looked awful.
Where does he do it?
You have to get a roll of fat round your tummy, and sort of pinch it. Well, I'm just getting less and less, you know.
I mean, Jeff would be fine. He wouldn't feel a thing.
Neither would I. I'd be absolutely fine. I have several options. Yeah, I know. So, so he has to do that. But, I mean, how anybody would manage Jenny? Well, first of all, if they had any sort of dementia or even just mild confusion, to manage to take all that lot and know when to do it and to remember when all of that stuff is just horrendous.
How many pills a day is he on, Judith?
He's on 14 pills for the operation, and then because he's got a few more for sort of normal ones as well that he mustn't remember to take, and the injection. So it's quite a lot, isn't it?
Okay, that's a heck of a lot of pills. You know, my mum used to be the keeper of my dad's pills.
Oh, did she?
She used to count them out for him, yeah. She was so... their relationship was kind of hilarious. He had a drug drawer in the... because he had lots of heart problems, but never a massive operation like Mike's. He had a triple bypass. I've told you this before, where he could get served at the golf club quicker.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the triple bypasses got served before the double bypasses.
Brilliant.
And the double bypasses
before
the single bypasses.
Brilliant.
So you'd sort of go up to the bar and you'd put 3... My dad said... Well, this is all my dad. He used to make it up, Judith. He was a complete fantasist, let's face it. He said, I used to go up to the bar, put 3 fingers up. That meant triple bypass. I'm in first. and then have a double gin and tonic. I mean,
fabulous.
Yeah.
So what was in his pills drawer then? Do you have loads of stuff in there?
In the end, they bought one of those pill organisers.
Oh,
which is,
God. With the days of the week
on? Yes. Ooh. And then you sort of, my mum used to kind of divvy them up at the beginning of the week.
Good idea.
I think it was... Sort of like, I never looked, Judith, because I was so self-obsessed. I wasn't bothered about my father's potential fatal heart condition.
Of course you were. This is to do with old people. What did you give a
shit? About my skin and whether my nose looked odd.
That's right.
so it was a plastic box thing, and I think it had the days of the week on, and then it was divided into 3, so morning, lunchtime, evening.
Oh, already as you're describing it, I'm thinking about.
Are you getting quite excited?
Might go and get one. Except I don't even go down too well with the patient. I mean, how really it is like an old person, isn't it? But I mean,
it's not forever. It's not forever.
And
is he relieved to be home? Is he happy to be home?
Oh, he was desperate to get home. Desperate to get home. I mean, it was so tragic when I dropped him off. I couldn't even take him into the ward. I had to drop him off at the main entrance with his little wheelie case. And I was allowed to take him some stuff in once. And they said, oh, go and just quickly say hello. And that was it. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty grim, you know. And although they looked after him really well, you know, pillows were just unbelievable, little horrible thin things, and the food.
Did it make you want to go to the White Company and just buy a whole load of new bed linen for the hospital for the John Radcliffe?
Yes. I mean, I think I'm rather good actually at the sort of kind of opening the windows, freshening the beds, and all. I think I was kind of quite well kind of wired for that. Do you know what I mean? I think I might.
Is there a tiny bit of matron in you, Judith?
More than a tiny bit, Jenny. More than a tiny bit. And I do remember when I was little, I went through the sort of wanting to be a nurse phase, which I assume that
bypassed me completely.
Did it? Well, as I was saying, I bet I thought it was something weird that you wanted to be. We'll get onto that. But no, because I remember lining all my dolls up on the stairs and, you know, sort of telling them off and kind of bossing them about and saying that they should do this, that and the other and everything. And I had a little trolley as well with all my stuff on. I had the uniform and all that business. So it was quite, there's been a matron in the making for quite a while, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you want to be then? Let me guess. A bit weird. Circus trainer.
Well, I think I did very similar things to you, actually, with the dolls and sort of lining them up and bossing them about. But I'm not quite sure how much hospital stuff there was. Although, of course, when I was about 8 and you started to get interested in other girls' bodies boys, there was quite a lot of doctors and inspecting. Do you remember that? And I think we pushed these slightly dark memories to the very far corners.
I know things we shouldn't really talk about, but
there was a lot of, I think if you just open your legs a little bit and all that, sort of that kind of curiosity.
Definitely.
And I just moved to a new school, and I do remember when we moved on, came back to the UK from Berlin when I was about sort of 8 or something. I went to this primary school in Barnard Castle, and I played a lot of intensive doctors and nurses with that group of friends that I made. And I moved about 6 months later, and I was quite relieved because I felt quite kind of like I'd gone a bit far. I do vaguely remember that.
Was that with boys and girls or just girls?
Not so much boys, no.
No, I was the same, really. Wasn't that fussed about what they looked like? I just wanted to check out where I sat in all this. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I think it was part of that wanting to see if you were normal.
Well, yeah.
You know, if other girls had the same arrangement in their pants, then the chances were that the arrangement you had in your pants was sort of the thing that was meant to be there.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, listen, let's get back to Mike, because we've got slightly distracted.
Into front buttons.
We are so selfish. We're talking about ourselves again, which we will later on. But, okay, so you've got him home. I thought that there would be strict bed rest for 2 weeks and you'd be running up and down those stairs with beef tea, what the fuck is beef tea anyway?
No idea, but it sounds revolting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, and I'm not slosh, I'm not sort of, there aren't any soiled kind of, bits and pieces. And
You're not doing the dressings, are you?
Oh, Jenny, there's a tiny bit of the kind of wound that sort of pokes up out of the top. And every time I get a look at it, my stomach flips. I mean, it actually flips. It's dreadful.
Can you see stitches? Are the stitches black? Are they sort of cat?
Just see a glimpse of it and the way it's kind of lying underneath the bandage. And you just think, so in that respect, I'm very, very badly equipped to be a matron. I'm very well equipped to be
to boss. You can do the bossy side and the opening windows. Yes, and I bet you're brilliant at pumping up pillows.
I'm good with a bit of Dettol. I bought myself a bit of Dettol. Treated myself to a bit of Dettol, actually.
Wiping down surfaces, fresh air, pillow pumping.
Protein. Nice, wholesome food. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so done all that. But, the other thing that I realise about myself, because, of course, here we are again talking about ourselves, is that I quite like, as I've got older, not being the one in charge, but having sort of practical tasks. And, if you just said that to me when I was in my 20s or 30s or 40s even, that would have been absurd, because I spent so long in my career being the one in charge and wanted to be the one in charge. But now I don't... Oh, couldn't think of anything worse. Don't want any responsibility at all. I don't want to be making any decisions, and I can already find myself, and this is definitely a sign of aging, just occasionally saying to Sienna, because she's, the eldest daughter, Sienna, could you tell me what would you say? I don't, do you know what I mean?
You tell me what to do.
Yeah, I want the decision-making baton because is definitely Judith, on its way out of my hands.
No, we're sick of the blame. We don't want any blame. We've had enough blame in our lives.
That's very true. That's very true.
And we don't want to be responsible for doing the wrong thing. So it's like we'll just load it on someone else. And if they make the wrong decision, you can say, yeah, well, that wasn't what my, not my fault. How is he entertaining himself? Are you having to... I mean, I keep saying to you, Judith, I keep saying jigsaws. Jigsaws are the answer.
Somebody's bought... somebody has bought him a jigsaw of the City of London. It looks ridiculously difficult. I mean, tiny.
Is it 1,000 pieces?
Oh, I haven't looked, but it rattles lots of little things rattle.
Okay, right, but, Judith, it's a world of jigsaws and some advice. I've got quite into jigsaws and I have learnt very quickly that...
Sorry, I'll listen up. Yeah.
I think you have implored the snore law, but I am talking over the snore law. I think there's some... We must have some kind of rule that between the two of us where we can over... What's it called?
Override.
Yeah, I'm overriding the snore law.
Okay, fair enough.
I think only allowed 3 override cards a month.
Oh,
and I am employing one of those. Yeah, I know. We're going to have to write these rules down in the snore law one day. But there are different qualities of jigsaw, and it is very important that you find the kind of quality of jigsaw you like and the number of pieces. We're on 1,000 pieces and we like, there's a range called Gallison and they are very good because the pieces actually fit together perfectly. There are some inferior jigsaws where you get a lot of blue sky and you can put any old bits of blue together.
Oh yes, I can picture what you mean. And they're sort of squishy. They don't come,
They start to peel off, the paper peels off, and that is an inferior jigsaw puzzle and that must go straight in the bin.
Okay, so is it how much you pay for them? Is it like most things that actually...
Not so much. Right. You should be able to get a good 1,000-piece puzzle for £15.
Okay. Good, clean fun.
You know, I'll send you some links, but, you know, at the moment, I'm realising that I've overridden snore law and I can't push it too far, but, you know, I've given you all the jigsaw advice
I'm glazing. I may not be actually audibly snoring, but I am glazing.
Now, is Mike eating...
Not as much as I'd like him to be eating, James.
Well, not as much as you are, that's what you mean. Whenever you say not as much as I'd like him to be eating, you mean that whenever you sit down together, he makes you feel like a greedy pig. He's having a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and there's you going for seconds of gravy.
What I have resisted doing so far, and I must continue to do, is doing what I used to do with the kids, which is eating his leftovers, of which there's far too many for my liking. We're turning into that couple. What's that couple? Mr. Spratt and Mr.
Jack Spratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. And so between the two of them, they ate the platter clean.
Oh, well done.
I always liked poetry. I was a child. Did you ever do a turn at a show when you were a child?
No.
Did you ever stand on a stage and do a little turn at the Sunday school?
That was my
first foray onto a stage that wasn't school or anything like that. I think it was a sort of local, might have been a community thing or a church thing, I don't know, but I recited a poem and it was about currant buns and it started, I don't know why, oh dearie me, but whenever we have currant buns for tea. Now, it obviously wasn't quite that because that didn't scan, but it was a poem and if any of our listeners recognise it, I'd love to know what it was, but it was one of those coy little pieces for, you know, somebody under 10 to perform coquettishly on stage.
Did you feel the love? Did you feel
with
the
lots
audience?
Of simpering? I got laughs, Judith, and that was it.
Did you?
I was always a terrible laugh junkie.
It?
Yeah. That was my
I think I got was that. Too, actually.
I got that when I was about 4, the laugh junkie thing.
And did you?
I used to, yeah.
That's young. What were you doing at 4 to make people laugh?
I was coming downstairs to, my parents were having a drinks party and I came downstairs in my pyjamas wearing my father's major's hat.
Did you?
And I did strutting around the sitting room. And with a stick under my arm, like he was marching, because he did the marching thing. And I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Well, I'm sure you were. And did they all stop what they were doing and applaud you
I think there was a lot of quite heavy drinking in those days. I'm not actually sure whether they noticed me.
But I bet they said, do you remember doing that? You remember doing it?
I think I remember. And I think I is there a photograph? I'm not quite sure. It's one of those things.
Oh, yes.
Well, I know I was forever coming down when my parents had drinks parties and people round and tried to sort of, you know, show off a bit and get some nuts, some dry roasted peanuts, because they were very nuts and crisp, my mum and dad.
Of course they were. But of course, you know. And vol-au-vent, I'm sure
they did vol-au-vents and things like that.
That was
a big thing, though, the vol-au-vent. That was more Christmas.
Was it? Yes.
Yeah, my mother used to get a bit hysterical about them.
I bet there were hard-boiled eggs with piped bits of...
Oh, yes, she did all that. Well, chive, bit of chopped chive.
Oh,
I'm not
very
quite sure
fancy.
What else she did. Yeah, yeah. Deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. I used to love a deviled egg. Yes. I bet Sarah sent you down for nuts, didn't she? Did she send you down? Go and lark about a bit and bring me some nuts. I bet she did.
Yeah, she did do, but she was in on it a bit, but she didn't do the showing off. She was quite up for
sort of coming
down.
There's only room for one show off in the family, I think. I don't think you can have more than one show off.
So listen, I want to ask you about whether Poppy is a healing agent in the house and good for cheering you all up.
Poppy's been sent away. We can't really have sort of Poppy jumping up on his chest, can we? So no, sadly she's gone. I packed a little bag. She's like I sent her off to boarding school to stay with Sienna for kind of the indefinite future. I do miss her, Jenny. I do.
Oh, did
miss
you put
her?
A ball in? Pebbles.
It's just like packing a sort of little case for your child to do its first.
When they do the first sleepovers.
Yeah, a little blanket and her little favourite ball and her treats and her pig's ears. And yes, I do. I do really miss her. Oh, Jenny, I got into the terrible habits when Mike was away of her coming up to bed with me. I mean, it's terrible.
She
learned so quickly, I tell you. Normally, I would say, and I'm aware that as I'm saying this, that Snorlaw might come in. But, you know, normally I would say, right, no, Mike, come on, go into your bed. And she'd do that within about 2 days, literally, I'd say night night, she's right by my heel. Oh, yeah, up we go. Oh, I'm going on that nice bed. Whoa.
oh, Mummy Judy. Oh, spit on down. Come on. Oh, poor Pebbles. Pebbles is going to really miss her playmates. I think you're being very brave. I know this is quite tough for you. So we're not going to do a very long podcast today because I think you have to go and check that Mike isn't trying to mow the lawn. There's a little bit of me that thinks he's probably trying to get better a little bit too quickly.
I think might be right.
And I'd quite like him to have, at least an hour in bed after lunch or something like that. Can you
persuade
him?
Oh, you'd be bossier than me. You sound like you'd be even bossier than me.
Have slight Munchausen's, you know, so I quite like a patient. At least you know where they are. I like a patient in bed. I don't want them drooping around the place, making it look untidy and sort of, you know, getting a bit breathless and all that kind of thing. I'd just rather they were shut up in the bedroom with an audio book. Obviously, I don't open any windows because I'm slightly allergic to fresh air. And I like a patient fug. I like that smell of sickliness and drugs in a room.
So anyway, what have you been up to? Tell me what you've been up to.
Judith, I'm 3 weeks jabbed, which has given me a little boost of confidence. I mean, not too much, and I'm still obeying all the rules and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it does mean that, and I'll fill you in on all this next week, I do have a date in the diary to see June.
It's
tremendously exciting and nerve-wracking as well. Because I think, you know, the same thing, we set so much store on the occasion that you forget to imagine that the occasion might have some after effects.
Yep.
And actually, in June's case, it might not be that easy because, you know, she might be overwhelmed by seeing me. I might be overwhelmed by seeing her.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I won't cry. I'm hoping that the dementia is at bay enough for her to sort of, you know, have a nice chat without going sort of to Paris and back in the same sentence. I know, and I'm going to have to be very good about that if that does happen.
Yes,
and not sort of feel sorry for myself because it's not my, you know, it's not her fault.
So can you go in? Can you go right in?
Yeah, that's
now?
The whole thing. Yeah, I can go right in. I have to have a... I have to have a COVID test, you know, one of those lateral flow things.
Yes.
And, I mean, quite a few homes have opened already, but my mother's home has been incredibly strict. Really, they've not had a single case.
Wow.
And I mean, I really take my hat off to them. So really, it is entirely up to them how this thing is operated. Sure. I have a time slot. It's half an hour. I have to arrive half an hour earlier for the lateral flow test. I have to be, put all the a mask on and gloves and an apron. But then I am allowed to hold her hands. That's something to look forward to. So,
oh, as you're describing that, I'm thrilled, actually. Really thrilled.
Yeah,
really, really good. Really pleased.
But again,
that.
As I say, quite nerve-wracking because there's so much riding on it. It's emotionally, you know, and I want it to feel like a big occasion, but I don't
and
want
a connection.
It to be...
You want there to be a connection, don't you? And I think if there isn't a connection, that will be very hard for you. But you are going to have to try if you can to manage your expectations, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
So other things that have happened this week, Judith. You know, it was my birthday last week, and we covered all that last week. But I had a delayed day out, which was lovely. We were, you know, sometimes you get lucky, don't you? We went to Kew Gardens.
Oh, I love
and
Kew
it was,
Gardens.
And it was last Friday. And it was just a beautiful day. You know, one of those bright blue sky sunshine days.
Ooh, gorgeous.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And there was a lot of crowding around certain magnolia trees, you know. I mean, everyone was socially distancing, but also trying to get a good photo. And it was there was a great atmosphere. But I tell you something, I'm not used to being out in the real world. And my purse strings over this past year have completely... contracted. I mean, I'm
what
so
do you mean?
Lunch in the cafe. I mean, it was a takeaway.
Yeah.
It was all very well organised. And there was one of those, you know, like men in their 60s and early 70s have got that really awful habit of putting their mask under their noses.
Oh, do you know?
And the whole queue is huffing and tutting.
Yeah.
And he had his wife with him. And I just thought, why isn't she saying something?
Yes.
This is outrageous.
Yes. That's her job. That's her job.
That is her only job. That and to tell him what to have. You know, that and to point at the sandwiches and say, no, you can't have a sausage. Drill, you know you can't. You're going to have a nice, healthy sandwich. Don't be ridiculous. No, one back of crisps between the two of us, and that's enough. Don't be so silly. Now, put your mask on properly. That's her job. Was she doing the job? She was not doing her job, Judith. There was a man whose job it was to do that job. Fortunately, he came forward and he said, "Will you please put your mask on properly, sir?"
Good for him.
And honestly, the whole queue kind of, we didn't quite clap, but there was a marvellous. Oh, isn't that? Oh, he's doing his job well. Isn't he doing his job well?
We like it here.
We like it here. We feel safe in this queue because there's a man who knows that it's his job to tell the dodgy mask wearers how to wear their masks. Marvellous. But...
Right, so you're saying...
The lunch. Right, guess how much this cost. Two sandwiches, Judith. I mean, not exciting. They were just... I had a salmon bagel and Jeff had a goat's cheese and chutney or whatever.
Right, I'm up to £6, right?
Okay, two cartons of juice and two bags of crisps.
Seven, eight, 10 quid?
Well, that's what I thought. She said $9.95. And I was obviously doing contactless. I said, oh, that's quite reasonable. She said $19.95.
Never.
$19.95, Judith.
For two sandwiches? Good God. Yeah. Good God.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we're getting out of touch, aren't we?
Out of touch. Yeah.
Oh, that's another sign of being old, isn't it? Do you know the... it was a while ago, but the last time I bought a round of drinks in at a bar, it was a long time ago, it would seem now. Similar thing. I was about 10, 15 quid out.
Yeah. You know, it's easily done, isn't it? Not just sort of, 50p, 75p.
No,
sort of 15 quid. Well, it's like there's a bit of my head that is permanently in 1975. I'm still rooting around in my bag for a threatening bit.
we're getting old, Jenny. We are getting old, aren't we?
Well, there's not much choice, is there, Judith? There's
not
much
really.
Choice.
Not really.
And everything costs so much. And bloody, my car again this week. I mean, you think you've had problems with Mike, looking after Mike and stress and strain of all that. But you don't know what it's like to live with a 1980s Mercedes, which is always on the blink.
Well, that's your own fault. Got no sympathy at all. Go get yourself a proper car.
I had to operate on my car, Judith, this week. Because one
you
of the
did.
Reasons...
Well, yeah. you didn't.
Well,
what
Jeff did. Well, because he had the AA out twice last week, and that's kind of the limit, isn't it? You can't go for a triple in a week.
Not really.
So basically, something was happening that kept draining the battery, and then on the second time the AA came, it got it going again. And the next day, I realised that the butler belt was stuck.
I know what you mean. The thing that comes round automatically.
Yeah.
From your yes.
Yes. In proper cars, this is where civilization stopped, when modern cars stopped having a buckle belt. I mean, really, I get into modern cars and I just think, this is so uncivilised. There's no buckle belt.
Well, very good for people
car.
Who are a bit frail. I mean, actually,
absolutely.
In Mike's state, be very good, that would.
There's all that scrabbling around and reaching over your shoulder. It's uncivilised.
Mm.
So anyway, this old banger of mine had a buckle belt, but it had got trapped and you could hear the motor whirring.
Trying to buckle it.
And I had snipped tendons, Judith.
What do you mean? They had to disable it?
Me and Jeff had to disable it because it was raining. We knew that was draining the battery. And we had to wrench part of the car, the upholstery off. It's all leather and beautiful. And had to get some pliers and snip wires. It was a bit... I mean, I'm not saying it was like, you know, what the surgeons did to Mike, but it was a little bit like it was opening up and getting in there.
But are you persevering with that car? Because personally, I think you should just draw a line under it and get a sensible, normal car. But there you go.
I know. I'm being sort of deliberately contrary. I'm being deliberately contrary about that car. And I understand
you have, actually.
And then
you
Jeff's car suddenly conked out as well.
Oh, God.
And, oh, dear, Judith. Anyway, and the house is falling to pieces as well. All of a sudden, you know, you look and you think, this place needs painting.
It's spring, isn't it? It's spring, so the sun's
cruel, isn't it?
Oh, what are your windows like? Our windows are the filthiest they have ever been, because obviously window cleaners can't come inside, and I think we skipped a few on the outside. I think the window cleaners might come and say, look, I'm sorry, but we're not even doing these.
These are going to have to be smashed out. You're going to have to start again. You're going to have to get new glass. These are so dirty. Ours look like we live by the sea, because they're just encrusted. Right, I think it's time now for Culture Corner,
yes.
Judith.
Yes, okay.
Are you managing to get any reading done? And is Mike managing to read?
Well, Mike's, I mean, he's remarkable. I mean, the way he could focus on something and kind of shut out the anxiety. I would be staring at the same page on the book and going over and over again, I'm sure. But no, he's read a novel since he's been in, and he's just finished it. So that's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've started listening to the Cazalets as instructed by Miss.
And do you like
so
it?
Far. Yes, I do. I can see. Absolutely.
It's very cosy. It's very sort of fruitcake of a book. It's very comforting.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying Girl A by Abigail Dean. And I'm adoring I Want to Be Yours, which is the John Cooper Clarke biography.
Oh,
but it
yes.
is a very niche story. And unless you're a Cooper Clarke fan, it may not appeal.
Yeah.
I think he's a genius and the book is phenomenal. But I'm not recommending it for every listener, because I think some people just go, I just don't get this. I don't understand the language. I don't understand where he's coming from. But for those who are fans, they will absolutely lap it up. I think Girl A, however, might be a good book club choice.
It's one of those ones.
Well, I'll tell you very quickly. Okay, so it's one of those House of Horrors kind of things where parents keep their 7 children basically in chains. And that makes it sound really, really sleazy and awful.
Yeah.
It's a posh version of that. So they're sort of hyper Christian, they're God fearing sort of thing. But no, it's not. And this basically, it starts with Girl A. That's how the press refer to her. Girl A, her mother has died in prison and she's now around 30. And it's about her having to contact her other siblings who were all taken to different homes when they escaped.
Yeah.
And to decide what they do with the family home. So it has got that slightly grisly background to it.
But they're coming out of it, but they're not in it anymore.
Oh, here are all the children sort of soiled in a room and all that kind of thing. No, it is that is in the past. So, but I don't think it's particularly for you at the moment. I think you need
definitely not.
I think it's a bit more comforting. So I really hope you enjoyed The Cowslets by Elizabeth Jane.
I think
Howard.
I will. I really think I will. So thank you for that. What are you watching the telly?
Oh, well, I'm hoping that you've got some picks because I've done very badly this week.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done the usuals. I mean, really enjoyed the Design Masters finale.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
And the Right Girl one, even though we
very
adore
much
Siobhan.
So. Yeah, very much so. I think
she
so.
Did what she wanted, didn't she, this week, Siobhan? She didn't really do the brief because it was meant to be family friendly.
You know, Siobhan does these amazing sort of bonkers stuff, doesn't she? But actually, would you want to live with it every day? I'm not sure. So Lindsay had got that right. And but they're both very, very talented. I
and
loved
it's been
that
such
series.
A great series, hasn't
it? Oh,
it
really
been?
Has. Yeah, it really has. I've
but
loved
But they're all
it.
Finishing, Judith. All the arty shows. The finished pottery. Throwdown's finished.
Oh,
Design Masters
God.
Is finished. It's the last week for draws off. No news of a second series. And I'm pretty gutted about that.
Give it time. Give it
no,
time.
No, I don't think there is any time. Because all the others have already announced that a new series will come. Like Design Masters is already throwing the net out for contestants. Pottery throw down the same. So, and there's been absolutely no word from Draws Off. But I mean, what has been very gratifying is that I've had so much lovely stuff on social media and people sending me drawings and things like that and people drawing along and everything. And people
really
investing in the show, and sort of stopping what they're doing every day to watch it. And I know a lot of people have asked me this week where the Scribble shirt is from. The one
very nice, that, very very nice shirt, Jenny.
It is a nice shirt.
Structured.
And I've got two of them.
We
it's
like
very
structure now.
So I do have one I could give away, but and maybe we'll think up a competition or something. It's a size 14. I got it from COS in the sale, and a lot of people are disappointed that it's no longer available. And I do have a spare one.
I think you should be very proud of Draws Off. I do hope they recommission it. I think it's a genuinely great show, and I think you've done really, really well on it, Jenny.
I think you do that too.
Yeah, really good mix of sort of supportive but a little bit mischievous from time to time. It was a marvellous look.
There have been some fantastic contestants. They were such nice people. And you knew you could instinctively tell how far you could go with most of them. You know, some people were more sensitive than others.
Yes, absolutely. But there was a particularly good shot of you in one of them this week where somebody was doing something completely ridiculous and you were kind of, you know, you weren't saying like, oh, do you think that ought to be like that? But your face sort of said it all. That sort of really clever tact with comedy. Very good.
My face often gives things away that I
really
wish it wouldn't. You know, I'm very like my father like that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's sort of just... It's all written all over my face.
So tell me about what else
you're watching on the telly.
Well, first of all, I think you should persevere with Unforgotten if you haven't finished that. Because we watched an episode last night and it's got this amazing thing that happens at the end of a particular episode, which means that I'm longing to see the next one. So actually, it was feeling pretty ordinary, but it's really come up in my estimation, The Unforgotten.
We'll go back
Very
to that.
Good. Yeah, you should. And I saw a really lovely documentary in the Arena series about... made by Nick Broomfield, you know, that wonderful documentary maker. And it's called My Father and I, My Father and Me. And his father was this photographer of industry, post-war industry. I mean, like the definitive photographer. And so, and obviously because they were a family of filmmakers and photographers. Yeah, you know, it's all captured on film and there's lots of lovely family stuff. And, you know, he had and I think every year they took a picture of him and his dad together on the same bench and all sorts of little touches like that. But it's really moving and interesting and a fascinating sort of glimpse into post-war factory life. So I'd really recommend that. That was good.
Sounds quite...
No. I don't
know. Okay.
No,
well, listen, if we're going documentaries, there's a nice one on Netflix about art fraud called Made You Look, which I did enjoy.
Oh, love that title. Love that title.
Yeah, it's a good one,
Very
isn't
good.
It? Made You Look.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Also, have you seen Grace, the drama with John Stim?
No.
Is that an ITV? I think it might be ITV.
Okay.
And it's about a sort of stag do that goes horribly wrong. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but basically what happens to the groom is like your worst nightmare ever.
And is it a murder mystery? Yes, it is.
It's one of those, but it's kind of, you know, it's got other little kind of tendrils which are quite good. Okay. Yes, I would recommend that. And I've been listening to things on the radio as well.
You've done better than me. So what have you heard on the radio?
David Sedaris, new series.
I love him.
Oh, my goodness me, the last one. It's sort of about lockdown, really, and really, really worth listening to. The other thing that I've discovered is, I mean, God, talk about late to the party, is that, you know, the hugely bestseller, which is it The Boy, the Mole, the Horse and the Fox, which I'm sure you've read.
No, I haven't, because I thought it was a children's book.
Well, it is, but it's the sort of book that speaks to everybody in the way that, you know, kind of Winnie the Pooh and the kind of, you know, Tigger and Pooh relationship and those wonderful sort of, I don't know, thoughts that, yes, I mean, you long to.
Because the illustrations are a bit Tigger and Pooh, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But they're amazing. I mean, just in terms of the technicalities of the drawings, very interesting. You should look at them, because he's kind of left almost the structure of the drawings down, you know, the kind of, you know, the spherical kind of shapes or the structure underneath.
Yeah, I get you.
Beautiful illustrations and, you know, written in a kind of old-fashioned fountain pen, these thoughts that you sort of long to read to a grandchild, but also if you were
don't worry Judith, Poppy will be back soon. As soon as Poppy comes back,
she'll
be in the corner
soon,
she'll be reading
she
on her own. Yeah,
oh,
yes. She'll be reading chapter books. She'll be looking at you going, what, you're still doing picture books? Get out of it. So that is our
lovely book.
Our cultural roundup of the week. Also enjoying MasterChef, because we still need some comfort telly.
Now, the other thing I must say before we go is thank you so much, gang, for all the amazing messages about Mike. Really, really touching on Instagram. I mean, obviously, as a result of last week, just absolutely, I can't tell you how much it helps. And he's read a lot of them and it's so lovely. And thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, I was also moved and touched by the messages to Mike, even though I didn't get a mention. I just thought, oh, it's not about me, is it? It's all about Judith and Mike. And actually, deservedly so. And I know that you've actually been through the mill. Mm. And so thanks for doing the podcast again, Judith. It's very brave.
Oh, it's been good. It's taken it off my mind for a bit, but I think I better get back to the patient soon. But yeah.
Okay, right. Email address, olderwiderpod@gmail.com. And our Instagram address is olderandwiderpodcast. Thank you very much for everyone that did email in this week. I don't know whether you saw this, Judith. I know you've been really busy, but Polly, aged 69 and 1 week, sent in a jigsaw puzzle that looked like the inside of your Wendy house. Did you see it?
No.
I'm going to put it on the Instagram for everybody, because it's very, very reminiscent.
Oh, wow.
The inside of your Wendy house.
I mean, it's not exactly the same, but
it's kind of uncanny. Yeah, yeah.
Now I suddenly want a jigsaw.
Suddenly want to do it. Oh. There you go. So thank you, everybody. Well done, Judith. Yeah. You go and check up on Mike and
I will. And thanks for distracting me, and lovely to talk to you, Jenny, as ever. And lots of love to the gang.
Thank you, Daisy. Cheers. All take care, and we'll speak next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.